Thank you for joining us today. We hope this teaching inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you tools for everyday life. We encourage you to visit us at mbcocala.com to discover more about the life-changing ministry at Meadowbrook, as well as convenient ways you can partner with us financially in helping people move from where they are to where God wants them to be. Enjoy the message.
Hey, I was wondering if you'd like to join me for church on Sunday. I'm glad you're here today. Amen. Hey, come on, everybody. Let's stand together. So glad you're here. You're going to be glad you came today. How many of you are going through anything at all? Come on, good and high. Come on, because we're about to pray. You're going through something right now. How many of you know that God can and will help you? Amen. We're going to believe together for that. How many of you got some good things going on? It's a good time to thank him for that too, isn't it? Looks like more of you are going through stuff than things going well for you. That's all right. God is on the throne. He's able to help us today. Let's lift our hands to the Lord right now. Father, we love you. We thank you for this day, a day that you have made. Thank you, God, that you are strong, that you're able, that you're alert, that you love us so much. You're our good heavenly Father. You're our good shepherd. We are the sheep of your pasture. We are in your care. And God, this morning, I pray together with each one for the needs, the pains, the hurts, the situations of their life. And I'm asking you, God, as only you can, to show yourself strong. If we could have fixed these things, we would have already done it. But we look to you and we know that you're our help, you're our strength, you're our everything. And God, again, I ask you, show yourself strong. Perfect that which concerns your children today. And Father, we take a moment to thank you for your goodness in our life. We need to remind ourselves and turn our gratitude knob all the way up because you are so good to us day in and day out. And we thank you for your blessings, your protection, your provision, your peace, all that you do for us. Thank you for getting us here today and that we can freely, freely worship you today. And Father, we take a moment all together as citizens and as brothers and sisters, and our hearts are heavy today with bad news out of El Paso and out of Dayton and such horrible, horrible crime and loss. And we just ask, Lord, for comfort. We ask for peace. We ask, Lord, that you would help our leaders to stop just staying in their political huddles and come together and find good and wise ways that can help. We don't just observe and watch and spectate on these things, but we take our place as the church of the living God, and we pray, Lord, that the evil would be thwarted, that such plans like this would be shut down and confounded. Lord, that you would help law enforcement, help those in authority to protect. And God, we just pray for people. They're lost people. And just pray that you would intervene. Intervene on behalf of the peace and safety of all. And so, Lord, we just thank you and we trust you in days like this. And now as we're here and we've lifted you up and now we listen up to your holy and written word, I just thank you for the comfort, the strength, the spiritual nourishment that will feed us spirit, soul, and body today. Help me to deliver your word in the right way. And I pray that when everything is said and done today, that you, Jesus, the Lord of our life, the head over all things to this church, that you'd be pleased, that you would be honored, and that these, your people, every single one of them would be helped today. That's our prayer. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. 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 Hey, how about a great big welcome for the East Campus today? Welcome, East. And for our online campus, let's welcome them all today. God bless you all. It's going to be a good morning. You may be seated. You may be seated. So glad you're here. Let me remind you also, this Wednesday is First Wednesday. I cannot encourage you enough. Make sure you get here. Put out the effort to do it. We'll have an incredible time of praise and worship. We're also going to take kind of a very intentional time of prayer. You want to come and be a part of that as well. And then I'm going to be teaching about the path. And that is that wherever you are, and we talk all the time about God helping us to move from where we are to where God wants to be. Some of you need to want to move from where you are to, you know, you're in pain, you're in a situation, and What do I do when a bad diagnosis comes? What do I do when bad news comes? What do I do if I'm going through this? And there is a path. There's always a path. And I'm going to be sharing with you how to discover that path and take those steps and have sure-footedness on that path. So you want to be with us. And we've been celebrating all year, but we'll be celebrating just in a couple weeks on the 18th, the 30th anniversary of the church. I was a boy preacher when all this started. And we're just so grateful to God. Please come out and celebrate. It's going to be an awesome day on the 18th. Well, we're in a series called The One. Everybody say The One. And really the goal of this is to waken our hearts. And I pray today that truly your heart, there's a old English kind of Bible way to say it. Pray that your heart, that this would smite your heart. That you'd really feel this, that this would change us. I've just been praying, God, expand, enlarge our hearts, increase our awareness of this. That there are people around us who need Jesus. That there are people around us who need Jesus. Yes. Amen. And that should concern us. It shouldn't just be, well, wow, it stinks to be them, glad I'm me. You know, there should be something that is stirred in our heart, and I pray that that happens. There's so many people around us that need the Lord, and so what do you do? How do you do that? And you focus on one at a time, and I believe that's what the Lord is leading us to do, is he would put someone in our hearts, and we begin to pray and then see how the Lord would set up divine appointments and put that all together. We all do have a responsibility to share the good news. We have this responsibility to God. We have the responsibility to others to share the good news that has changed our lives. I don't know about you, but it has changed my life. And consequently, it has changed my eternity as well. And so all of us that have received the Lord have a relationship with God through Jesus. We have responsibility to share that with others, this good news that has changed us. Aren't you glad that somebody shared with you? Yes. Come on, aren't you glad somebody invited you to church? Yeah. Aren't you glad somebody was praying for you? And so often we don't even know who was praying for us. You know, you were being a pirate and they were praying for you. You know, you know, thank God for prayers and invitations and people that would love us enough to share with us. Amen. And here's the stark reality, and this is the thing that just really hits me in a big way. Everybody spends forever somewhere. Everybody spends forever somewhere. That should matter to us. And it's part of the reason that we're all still here is because God wants to use you. To connect with people that are near to you who are away from him. And there's some awesome ways that God will get involved in your life when you involve yourself in his mission in that way. Amen. I shared with you in the last couple weeks out of Luke chapter 14 the parable of the great banquet. And the Lord, the master, has prepared this great feast, and remember, it's symbolic of heaven, symbolic of salvation of the family of God. And then in the more immediate and the visible for us, it also relates certainly to the church. And this is what he said, I've prepared something awesome for you. I want you to go, my servants, I want you to go and invite them because I want my house full. God wants heaven full. God wants heaven full. He wants as many as possible to receive his great salvation. He paid a dear price for that. He wants as many as possible to come into his family. We're all adopted, yes. Chosen, beloved, adopted, accepted in the beloved, you know, to be in the family of God. And then he wants people in church, church days. Church done right is the hope of the world. And he wants people in life-giving churches. He wants churches full. I'm going to show you some pictures probably next week. Do not believe the media that the church is some dying, pale, dusty something. I'm telling you what, God is moving all over this planet. And there is no group, there is no single entity on this planet. Amen. There's no other anything gathering in mass today on the Lord's Day all over the planet. No, there's no group, no anything that gathers like that. I'll tell you what, God is not done. Amen. Just there's certain people holding the microphone and holding the cameras. So you be careful what you believe. Amen. All right. Now, he said, go invite because I want my house full. And his mode, his method of filling his house is invitation. He wants you and I to go and to be involved in just inviting people to something and something pretty awesome that's life-changing and eternity-changing. He wants people to check out Jesus and check out church a little closer, a little clearer, for people to taste and see that the Lord is good. How many of you like me have tasted and seen that truly the Lord is good? He's good. I have peace I don't deserve. I have joy and blessing I don't deserve. We have forgiveness of sins. I've got help in this life. I've got a home in heaven, y'all. People talk about, yeah, I got a lake house. Well, I got a home in heaven. You can see that place. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And if you're here today and you've just heard of church and religion, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the Lord, a relationship with God, a living God who loves you, never leaves you, never forsakes you. You're never alone. You're never without help. Amen. Amen. And he takes good care of us. I'm so glad about that. Amen. Well, forgive me. I wandered there a moment. Well, when we invite people, and I've shared this with you the last few weeks, it's good that we know this. Some people will say no. And some will say yes. But if we don't invite people, the answer will always be no. How many of you ever had to sell stuff when you were a kid, like for fundraisers at school, you know? How many of you hated doing that? Okay. You know, and you're selling wrapping paper or light bulbs or whatever it would be, you know, going door to door. And, you know, after a while, you kind of know the people that are going to say yes. Sometimes you can just tell by their yard they're going to say no, okay, you know. But you're going to have some folks, you know, as you invite them, they might say no. And you're going to have some that will say yes. But if we don't invite them, the answer will always be no. But I believe there's a very effective, efficient way to do this. And the number one most effective, most efficient means to bring people to Jesus, and we've mentioned this every week, is this right here, relational, invitational evangelism. Simply, it's someone you know, you invite them to church so that they can hear the good news. They can be exposed to a corporate anointing of God's presence and God's people and God's word. And there's something that happens there. And that's the number one way. Most effective, most efficient way to bring people to Jesus. And this is what we're talking about, inviting people to the Lord. Now, on August 25th, so it'll be the week after the 30th anniversary of the church, I'm starting a new series called All the Feels. And we're going to be talking about emotions and how they control us and contain us and can ruin your life and can ruin relationships. And this is a perfect series to invite somebody to, because people deal with these things all the time. This is epidemic. This is crazy big in people's lives, and I'm going to be sharing with you just the truths from God and his word that are going to help us to manage and get set free from those things. So keep that in mind. That's a great target date to invite some folks. How many of you have ever heard of social media? Anybody? And so we've got, you know, Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and LinkedIn and Pinterest. And how many of you are still doing MySpace and didn't know? Okay. But you've got all of those things going on. I think we should leverage technology. You know, how many of you text with anybody? My stepdad's 86. He prefers to text with me than talk with me on the phone. And I do too. So, you know, and we have a family text feed every day. You know, I've got 5 kids, and 3 of them are married, and I've got grandbabies, and they're kind of scattered all over the place. And we get, hey, be praying for this, or that something cool happened, or look what one of the grandbabies did, you know. And that's kind of a cool way to leverage that. And I think we can leverage technology. We can leverage social media. However, with social media, I think there are a couple improvements, and I saw this week, and I'm voting for this. These are buttons that should be available on social media. Dislike, no one gives a hoot. I like that one. Hey, if you're going to post something, spell it right. okay? Here's one. We get it. You're a happy couple. Enough baby pictures. You're trying too hard. Too much drama. And then this again, you know. So there's a lot of that that's out there. But you know, in the positive sense, we can leverage technology, can leverage social media as a tool. We very much do so as a ministry. And so we have a big presence on Instagram, on Facebook, and on Twitter. And you can like and retweet and forward and share. We send you out big emails to let you know of big events. You can forward those to people as well. It's one way that you can use those things. Also, how many of you have a smartphone? How many of you are believing for one for Christmas? Okay. How many of you have a smartphone? Come on, play. Don't play with me today. All right. Okay. I ask that question once or twice a week. I'll be in a store, be in a restaurant or whatever, and I'm talking with somebody. And how many of you know that you can share with somebody and not be obnoxious? Well, for the rest of you, you can share with somebody and not be obnoxious. And you can just kind of meet them real life. And I will do this, and this is such a great tool. I'll say, well, do you have a smartphone? And this is where it leads to. I tell them, because we have an app at the church. And if you didn't know we have an app, we have an app. And you can go to the App Store. You can go to Google Play if you have an Android. And you download the app, and it is free. And so anytime, day or night, and you can search. That means search. You've got a category, you're dealing with something, and messages come up, the website comes up, there are all kinds of resources there. This is a day and night tool. I talk to some people, I can't come to church because of my schedule, because of this, because of that. And this is an incredible way to help them to taste, to see, to sample, and sometimes to just help them during those seasons of life. I just can't get to church. This is another way that we can do that. So I want to make you aware of that today as well. Amen? All right. Right here, the last few weeks, we've passed out these cards, and if you'll remember, we said we believe that God would lay someone on your heart, and then write their name on here, and we're going to be praying. So our staff and our teams have been praying daily over all of these cards, and the week before, y'all had turned in 2,600 cards. Last week, you turned in another 2,400. There's over 5,000 cards that are right here. And this is the beautiful thing, okay? It's not just us writing down, let me think of somebody. Listen, you don't have to strain about this. Well, I was thinking of some so-and-so, but I didn't get goosebumps, and there wasn't an eclipse, so that must not have been God. No, don't make this hard. Don't make this hard. If God puts somebody on your heart and your mind, if you asked him to, he will. And this is what I believe. He's on both ends. He's at work on both ends. So if he puts somebody on your heart, he will start working on the other end. And so we have been praying. I wanted to take just a moment and pray. Would y'all pray with me and just reach out your hands toward these right now? Father, I thank you for every individual represented on these over 5,000 cards. And I just believe, God, that if you put these people on our hearts, and in a very simple, tangible way, we wrote their names down. And teams have been praying. Every one of these cards have been handled and prayed over and called out by name. The Lord, that as we do this, we believe that you're at work on the other end to orchestrate things, to work in hearts and minds, and to draw people to yourself. And we pray, Lord, that they would come to a full and saving knowledge, a living, loving relationship with you, and a home in heaven forever. Thank you for the holy work you'll do in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen, 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 and continue to read. Just get a good mental picture of that, and would you continue to pray, and especially for the one also that you have mentioned. Amen. Well, I believe there's some urgency. That none of this is about trying to get some attendance goal or something. I'm not about that. There's no other reason for this except people need Jesus. And there should be some urgency in our hearts about this. You know, it's kind of like a little kid who gets lost at the county fair. And he's having fun, so he doesn't even know he's lost. And that's well and good until he gets afraid or hurt or hungry. And that's the way you and I were without the Lord. We were having fun. We were living it up, so we thought, till the belly ache till somebody took something from you, till you got hurt, till you got afraid, till it got dark. And others were looking for you, so to speak. And we didn't even know we were lost for a long time because we thought we were having fun. And I'm telling you what, if you've ever lost a little one, even for just for a little while, my kids were notorious. We'd be in a store, and then you know those rounders where they hang clothes all the way around there? They'd go in there and play Star Wars, you know? And it's like, Star Wars, I'm going to laser you if you ever get out of my sight again, you know? You know, there should be this urgency in us that there are people lost that they don't even know that they're lost. And there's a way that God wants to work in us and through us. He wants us to connect with people who are near to us, who are far from Him. And there should be some urgency about this. Quick question, are there people in your life? Are there people in your life? Are there people in your path who need Jesus? Amen. Are there people in your life, people in your path who need to come back to the Lord? And let me just tell you that if there aren't, your job is not done. You actually need to get a bigger circle. Well, my three friends, they all love Jesus. Well, you need more friends. You need more friends. You need to get out. You need to talk to other people. You know, because part of the reason that we're even still here on planet Earth is He wants to use you, like I said, to connect with people near you that are away from God. And so there should be some urgency about this. Well, speaking of urgency, some of that has to do with timing. So where are we time-wise? Where are we? And you do know that everything's not just going to go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. We're in a limited little zone here. Only God is eternal. Amen. Amen. And I don't have time to go through the whole timeline, but let me tell you where we are in the timeline as best we can. We are in what is called the New Covenant. So this is the church age or the age of grace. And this began when Jesus rose from the dead, stayed a little while, ascended into heaven, and the Holy Spirit came, and the new covenant began. We're in that time, and we will be in that time until such time that the Holy Spirit is called away and Jesus returns, okay? I don't have time to get into all of that right now, but we're in that zone. I believe that we're way over here, okay? And so there is some urgency with this. Think about this. The Old Testament is completed. Old covenant is fulfilled. Old prophecies are fulfilled. Jesus has fulfilled His earthly ministry. And now it's been about 2,000 years, and yet we still know that God has, there's more to His plan. So what is the delay? What is the delay? What's going on? Where are we? How close are we? Well, we don't know that, but there's something being delayed here. What's the holdup? Look with me in 2 Peter chapter 3. Y'all with me today? God isn't late with His promise as some measure lateness. He is restraining Himself on account of you. Watch this. Holding back the end because He doesn't want anyone lost. He's giving everyone space and time to change, but when the day of God's judgment does come, it will be unannounced like a thief. Where are we? We're in a period of time where God is restraining Himself, and He is holding back the end. Why is He doing that? Because He's not good with anybody being lost. He's allowing a little more time, a little more space for people to change, for people to come to Him. In Ezekiel chapter 18, it says, God takes no pleasure in anyone perishing. He takes pleasure when they turn and come back to Him and they live. He wants more people forgiven. He wants more people to come to a restored relationship with Him. He wants more people to have Him in their lives and more people to be heading to heaven. Look with me in Matthew chapter 28. And Jesus came, this at the very end of His earthly ministry, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority, everybody say all authority. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, everybody say go. Go, therefore, and make disciples, those are followers of Jesus, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the what? To the end of the age. Amen. So what I want to pull out of here are two things. First of all, go. Everybody say go. We know that we're to be a part of his mission. We're to go. But the first part of that really sticks out to me. He said, all authority has been given to me. All authority. He has all authority. And this is not just some cosmic all authority, heaven and earth, as it said. It goes even beyond that. It permeates everything about our lives. Everybody, he has all authority. I said he has all authority, which means he alone determines what really, really matters most. Hear me. He alone determines what really, really matters most. Congress does not. Hollywood does not. Your magazines that come through and say, this is what you're supposed to wear now. Whatever it would be. I don't know why I did that. I work hard for you. I work hard for you people. He alone determines what really matters most. And can I tell you what really matters most? The eternal. The eternal. Not the temporal. Not the temporal, not just the things of this life and of this earth. That's not what really, really matters the most. What really matters most is what is eternal. I want to read to you a quote by, this is Kevin Myers. He's the pastor of 12 Stone Church in the Atlanta area. I love this. He says, the work of Jesus' church is the biggest thing happening on the earth. Nations will fade just as the Roman Empire did. Billion-dollar businesses will come and go the way of Oldsmobile, Borders, and Blockbuster. The church will outlive and out-influence everything else on earth. Microsoft, Apple, Walmart, Facebook, Google, and Amazon. The famous in Hollywood. The famous in the music industry. Presidents, prime ministers, and Nobel Prize winners. All human accomplishments will wither and be forgotten when the end of time comes. And when it comes, all people will bow to the only true God. Amen. If you don't see the big picture, you'll live small. If you don't see the big picture, you'll just live for yourself. If you don't see the big picture, you'll just live for stuff. I got to get the new one of these. Pastor was talking about phones. I got to see what else is out there. I hope you get one, you know, and I hope life goes well for you. I do. I hope you prosper. I hope you're happy. I hope your relationships are healthy. I pray business goes well for you. I pray you stay strong. I pray you enjoy yourself. I pray all of those things, but in the end, none of those things are the things. And we have promises in Scripture that God will help you with all those things, but don't get confused and you're just over at the toy box. And you got plastic fruit when he's got a table spread that he wants to share with everybody, everybody. And when we lose sight of the big picture, we live small. And so that's why today we've got to see the big picture that only he has authority and only he determines what really, really matters. And what really, really matters is eternity, not just these moments and not just living for ourselves and living for stuff. So what do we do with this? We have limited time. We have limited time to do our part. People have limited time. Life is just a vapor. Life is here. Life is gone. I mean, it seems like this last summer, I was about to go into sixth grade. Any of y'all with me, doesn't it seem like I'm about to start junior high? Till you turn the corner and see yourself in the mirror and go, well, something happened. Okay? It's called time. And time is short. So what do we do? What do we do? Well, I just read to you, we're called to go. Everybody say go, go. We're told to go. 2 weeks ago, I shared with you that we're called to be ambassadors. Everybody say ambassadors. Okay, go. I'm an ambassador, but what do I do? What do I say? How do I do this? So let me take you back into the Gospels, Matthew chapter 4. And Jesus shows up, and there's some guys. He's already had some interaction with them, and they're fishing. They're fishermen. And he says, Jesus called out to them, said, come follow me and I will show you how to fish for people. Come follow me and I will show you how to fish for people. So it's really easy. This is what we do. You ready, everybody? Follow Jesus. Everybody say, follow Jesus. And here's the second part, go fish. And some of you guys were saying, well, good, about time he said something I like, you know, if you're, honey, see. No, stay with me here. Follow Jesus. Come on, say it again. Follow Jesus. And go fish. So you don't need to leave your job. You don't need to leave your city. You don't need to leave those things unless God has a unique, particular, very, very clear call for you to do so. But you need to follow Jesus and you need to go fish. People say, well, if I'm going to serve God, I have to go do something else. No. You're completely missing the point. Look at me. You're not really going to like this, but let me go ahead and tell you this. Believe it or not, like it or not, in your life right now, God has you exactly where he wants you. And he wants to use you right there. Well, I don't like my job. Then be really good at it. Be faithful in it. This isn't where I wanted to be in life. It's where God has you right now. God didn't lose track of you and then find you 20 years later. Oh, I had so much more for you. You right now, whatever's going on, that is exactly where God wants you. It may not be forever. Oh, good, because I don't want to. No, just be faithful where you are. Be faithful where you are. And you know what this is called? This is called go fish. Because he showed up, these guys, it's all in context. These guys that he came up and said, just follow me and I'm going to show you how to catch people like fish. They were fishermen. It's just in the context he's saying, hey guys, you know how you sometimes throw those nets out and catch fish? Sometimes you bait the hook and you do that. What he was doing is saying, hey, who you are and what you do and what you have and where you are, I want to connect that with my mission. So this is what we do. Time is short. People need Jesus. The only thing that really matters is eternity. Amen. And we're getting closer and closer to that. Amen. And God wants to connect you. He wants you to connect with people who are near to you, who are away from him. So how do we do that? You don't change venue and what you do. You do what you do. You use what you have right where you are, and you connect it to God's mission. So just like he did with fishermen, hey, guys, you know how you fish? This is what they understood. So what about you? If you're a hairdresser, go fish. If you work at the prison, if you sell insurance, you're a brain surgeon, you're a stay-at-home mom, you're on the run from the law, turn yourself in. Other than that one. What do you do? Who are you? Just be full of God, grow in him, follow him, do what he says to do, follow hard, be kind to people. And I'm telling you, watch how God will use you just right where you are. Follow Jesus, go fish, put that in your context. Why? Because everybody spends forever somewhere. Amen. Did y'all get anything at all out of this today? All right.
Thanks again for listening to this message resource for Meadowbrook. You can stay connected by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at MBC Ocala.